Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. It's not all fun and games in the toy making industry. There are big risks involved. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and today is June 5th, 2013. We're on day three of our technology article, Augmented Reality, Toy Maker's Latest Weapon. It's on pages 12, 13, and 14 in your Advanced magazine, and it's been interesting learning about some of the changes toy makers have had to incorporate into their toys in order to stay ahead of the game. I would say maybe even survive, because children are being pulled in so many directions today. They have so many options as far as fun and games, particularly with devices like smartphones and tablets. So it's a whole new realm for toy makers, and they have to adapt or they will not survive. So that's why I said at the beginning of the program that it's there are some real challenges then in that. And it's very risky, and we don't know who's going to survive or not. That's where we left off yesterday. We'll pick up on that today. But first, let me introduce our panelists and get a thought from them on yesterday's reading. First, Josh Mooney.
Hi, Bill. Great to be here. And a phrase we used yesterday that I liked was staying power. And if you have staying power, it means that no matter what difficulties or problems arise, that you will last. And hopefully, maybe you've found studying English to be difficult and run into challenges. But if you have staying power, it means you won't give up.
Okay. All right. I hope our students, our listeners, do have staying power. Stick with it. Just to don't overwhelm yourselves. Just make a little bit of progress each day. I always tell people, just really learn one or two words each day. Don't try and, you know, tackle a mountain in one day, or you'll become frustrated. So it's a continual process, and especially here at the advanced level, it takes years really to learn all of the terms that we do talk about. So don't get frustrated. Have staying power. I know Carolyn Bugs got staying power, right, Carolyn?
Well, I sure hope so. I'm glad to be back here, and it's nice to see you, Bill, and
yeah,
Josh.
You're here on day three, so you got some staying power.
That's true. I have lasted to the third day.
Yeah, okay. All right. Give me something from yesterday.
Well, we talked a little bit about scenarios and how you can superimpose different scenarios with this technology, with this augmented reality. And when we play with toys, a lot of times we think about the different scenarios that the game is involved in, or we play a game, a board game, that involves different scenarios. So here we're having digital and augmented reality scenarios. And it's very, very interesting the way that toys are changing and how important things being digitized has become.
Yeah, one scenario I didn't think about was what we did talk about in the middle of our reading yesterday was German puzzle maker Ravensburger, and I had never even thought about it until I read this article that, wow, what a cool idea to put augmented reality into puzzles, because, you know, a lot of children might think, oh, puzzles are boring, right, because they're used to their phones or their iPads, and they want to touch the screen. They want videos popping up. They want music videos. They want cartoons that are moving and all special effects and computer graphics. A puzzle might be way down on the list of excitement. But we're finding what did this puzzle maker do?
Well, the puzzle maker offers an app, and it's an augmented reality app that you download to your phone and then hold it up to the puzzle. Mm-hmm. And then the app then takes a picture of the puzzle. There must be some sort of marker or a chip embedded in it. And then it brings up pictures based on the content of the puzzle right there on your phone.
Do your boys put together puzzles?
Yeah, they did years ago. Yeah, yeah, it's been 5 or 6 years since we've pulled out puzzles. I really enjoy them. I think we should bring them back. And maybe if I integrate it into their iPod touches, they might find it fun too.
Do you put together puzzles or did you?
Oh, I loved puzzles.
Yeah.
Puzzles were something that I really enjoyed doing with my sister, with my aunt, just putting them together and working on complicated 1,000-piece puzzles.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Actually, I think this is one of those things that I look at and I'm thinking, well, I hope we don't lose this because puzzles actually are a great exercise for people of all ages, especially for us when we're young, to learn about being patient.
Hmm.
And solving a problem and looking at things and coming up with possible solutions, because you can't just dump a puzzle out of the box and bingo bango put the thing together in 5 minutes. You have to kind of work your way through this. It's a trial and error.
Mm-hmm.
And actually puzzles, and I never even realized this when I was younger, are actually a great example for us.
Mm-hmm.
And they teach us a lot of things about thought process and about problem solving, patience. And then even partially solving a problem, walking away from it, coming back later and looking at it from a different perspective. So
also teamwork and collaboration.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How long would it take you to do a 1,000-piece puzzle, Carolyn?
Oh, that would take a few days.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. Yeah. That's great. Think about that in our microwave society, that you had an activity that would take a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now...
And more people, not just myself. We'd have
and more people.
Three or four people working on this puzzle for a few days.
Wow.
Yeah. You actually had to get along with people.
Yeah.
So you couldn't isolate, and it lasted more than 2 minutes.
Right.
All right. Well, in fact, you can see a box there on page 14 of one of their puzzles. Looks to me like, I don't know, it looks like the Eiffel Tower there.
Yeah.
It looks like Paris, right?
I think
right?
It is Paris, so. And it is 1,000 pieces.
Yeah.
And if you look right under that 1,000 caption, it says free app download.
I mean, that's so really cool. A puzzle of Paris. You could probably scan it around with your phone and see these, you know, the Louvre pop up, the Arc de Triomphe. That would be like really pretty neat to see. So you might want to put that up on your wall, frame it in your living room. So
pretty cool.
Okay. Now, before we move on, what I want to do is just have Josh and Carolyn read our sidebars that are on page 13. So let's finish that work before we do move on. So we've got two sidebars. And first, let me have, I was going to have you guys do paper, scissors, stone, but I'll decide. Carolyn, you do Kids Love Apps.
All right. Well, we're hearing again from Carla Gomez. She was mentioned on the first day of our article. She's a stay-at-home mom who was shopping at the Lego store. She said her three young sons love the Lego building blocks, but fight more over the family's single iPad.
Okay. Sounds like Carla's dealing with what almost every parent is dealing with today. So that technology. The kids want the technology. So we're trying to incorporate the technology into the toys today. Next sidebar says promising uses in the future.
It says today shoppers can peer inside 3D models of IKEA furniture by waving their smartphones at a paper catalog or point their phones down a residential street and see which houses are for sale and for how much. Google's highly anticipated augmented reality project, Google Glass, is due out in 2013 and promises cyborg-level knowledge in a wearable format.
Cyborg-level knowledge. What do we mean by that?
Well, when we're talking about a cyborg, it's like a robot, but with the intelligence of a human, which is a little bit frightening.
Well, actually, the robots, the cyborgs in movies, they're usually, one, they're evil. Two, they know everything. They don't have human intelligence. They've got superhuman intelligence, right?
That's right.
So they know everything.
And we will know everything when we have Google embedded into our right eye, which is pretty much what Google Glass looks like. Go look at some of the videos of it. They are wearable glasses, like it says. And then up in the kind of the right corner of your vision, you would be able audibly to call up the internet and bring up things like restaurant reviews or Facebook or check your email while you're hopefully not driving a car, but maybe, you know, in class or watching TV or in the movies.
Yeah.
And it's a little strange, but it's coming in a big way.
Essentially, it's computers that you wear on your face, like glasses.
Mm-hmm.
And so It's coming. All right, let's do this. Let's turn to page 14 and get into our third day of this article. We'll have two readings today. Our first reading will be the left column.
Augmented reality apps are expensive to develop, said Lori Schott, co-publisher of the Toy Insider. Many toy makers don't want to invest in the technology, especially when consumers expect mobile apps to be provided free. Parents succumbing to a child's demands for techie devices like tablets also may not want to spend more money on real toys to augment virtual play. And there's always the parental skepticism of melding a $20 plastic toy with a $300 mobile device. I think it's going to take a few years before we see something that's really awesome, Schott said. But, she said, the outcome can be magical for kids. Sony PlayStation's recently launched Book of Spells game, for example, turns a blank book into an interactive pop-up book of magic, complete with Harry Potter magic wand, floating figures, and orbs of light. All of a sudden, you're playing in that magical world, and you're seeing yourself the whole time, Schott said.
Well, of course, if you have a smartphone or a tablet, you know that getting apps, they're pretty cheap, 99 cents, maybe $1.99. But,
well, building those apps is actually really expensive. Our first part of our lesson says that exact sentence according to Lori Schott, co-publisher of the Toy Insider.
Okay. All right. And then we continue by finding out. We talked about some of the risks and gambles and challenges. That's where we left off yesterday for toy makers. And what is one of them?
Well, they are expensive, and many toy makers don't want to invest in the technology, especially when consumers expect mobile apps to be provided free. So we mentioned looking at the picture of the Ravensburger puzzle that it's a free app, right? Mm-hmm. So the app is free. You get it with the puzzle. But the app was a lot more expensive to design and develop than the puzzle.
Okay. First off, is it really free?
No, because you got to buy the puzzle.
Yeah. Right. Now, I guess my question is, I'm sure they build that in there somewhere in the price.
Yes and no. I mean, hopefully they've done their homework and understand how much it costs to make. But they also can't count on everyone who buys a puzzle using the app. And that's actually a big hurdle with these augmented reality experiences is you don't just bring up your camera and they work. You actually have to go to the iTunes store, download the Ravensburger puzzle app, install it, open it up, and then by that time, you're expecting this experience to be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a letdown, you're never going to do it again. So I think until some of these things can be embedded in the phones or maybe installed via QR code, which isn't very popular, at least in America, augmented reality has some really big hurdles.
Okay. And it sounds like delivery is one problem right there. Just delivering this app to people, making it easier. You want to make it as simple as possible, but there are just some steps you can't get around them.
No.
There are some steps involved. So that's why some toy makers, they are hesitant to invest in this technology because it is expensive. You need people who are skilled in this specific training. So there is a cost, thousands and thousands of dollars to develop these apps. So it's not cheap for companies to develop them. So now we get back into the family here in our next paragraph.
That's right. And there is another problem with parents succumbing to a child's demands for techie devices like tablets. So the parents are succumbing or giving in, letting their child have these techie devices like tablets. So they might not want to spend more money on real toys to augment virtual play. So here we're changing what's being augmented. It's no longer the virtual reality becoming a part of the real toy, but the real toy becoming part of the virtual toy.
As a parent, would you look at the situation with your boys and just you probably maybe run into this. It's like, don't you have enough?
Very true. Yes. I mean, there's just so many options. I kind of feel guilty. They have their iPod touches. They have access to my iPad or my wife's iPhone, and they also have DSs, and those are, you know, individual game systems. So it's just an endless array of technology options these days for kids.
Yeah. Okay. So, and in fact, yesterday we did talk about some of these things that help bring toys and augmented reality together. There was the foam plane, and then there was the plastic laser gun, and that's actually what this next sentence is about, right?
That's right. There's always the parental skepticism of melding a $20 plastic toy with a $300 mobile device. So the parents are skeptical. They aren't really sure if this is such a good idea.
Okay. They have some doubts. And also we see melding.
That's right. When we talked yesterday about the laser tag game, that's putting a smartphone onto a $20 or $30 plastic laser gun. And I have been very skeptical of this. Am I going to want my 8-year-old son running around the house with my smartphone stuck in the gun? I'm not sure. You know, that's really something I would be comfortable doing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But he needs that in order to engage with the augmented reality piece.
Yeah. All right. Next paragraph then. We go back to Lori Schott, and she's the co-publisher of the Toy Insider. What does she say?
She says, I think it's going to take a few years before we see something that's really awesome. So it's not something that's going to happen right away. It's going to take some time to develop, which makes sense because this technology didn't happen right away. It's taken quite a while to get to where it is.
Very normal. We always need several iterations of things before we actually hit it as far as something that is really magical that does sell big time. And that's what you said. If it does happen, the outcome can be magical for kids. I think it'll be magical for adults. Also.
Do you remember the very first video game you ever played, Bill?
Yeah, it was Pong.
Pong.
Yeah.
And when I looked at it today, it doesn't look awesome. But it was to you, right?
Oh, it's so cool.
Yeah. So I disagree with the statement that it takes time to reach the state of awesome. Because if you've never seen it before, even as, primitive as it was technologically, you were blown away.
At that time, sure. Because we didn't have anything else like it before then. It was new. It was different. So, and it kept us entertained for a while. Wow. We get into now something that Sony is working on.
Yes. Sony PlayStation, which is their console gaming system, recently launched the Book of Spells game. And spells are what sorcerers use to conjure up magical things.
So there is a tie in there with magical things. So, and, we see the game does what?
Well, it turns a blank book into an interactive pop-up book of magic. So I remember having pop-up books, reading those when I was growing up, and how cool it was to have the pictures pop up as you turn the page. Mm-hmm. But here, this is a blank book that's interactive, and it's a pop-up book of magic, complete with Harry Potter magic wand, floating figures, and orbs of light.
Okay.
My pop-up books did not have things that floated, I must say.
No.
Or lighting up orbs? No.
Yeah. Music, maybe, but...
All right. So I actually... Did you have a chance to look at this?
I did. It's amazing.
Yeah, it is really something. It's... Now, that's funny to me. A blank book, right? Okay, you're going to buy this book. It's blank.
Yeah.
But the outcome... The final product is really cool.
That's right. So if you see the video, it's kids in a living room. Again, it's plugged into the television, so you do need the PlayStation. It's not through a smartphone. But it just looks like there's just a whole, show going on in these kids' living rooms through the augmented reality.
Yeah, it's almost like you're kind of taking part in a Harry Potter movie. And they've got this wand, you wave it over it, and it's amazing, all of the images that do pop up. And you have the orbs or the balls of light floating. And, of course, you get animals flying and all sorts of different things. So it is a really interesting thing that they have put together on this. And And in fact, Lori Schott finishes this section.
She says, all of a sudden, you're playing in that magical world, and you're seeing yourself the whole time. So it's like you are a part of this world, not just playing around it, but you're in it.
Yeah. So it's, you know, this is kind of neat. The kids can actually step into a movie.
And I talked about Microsoft Kinect yesterday. It really is this idea of putting your child's face into the experience has become really popular. And kids, I think, especially to the millennials, a term we've used, that generation, you know, who are now 16 to 30 years old, they've grown up being the stars of so much of their own media. You know, with so many home movies and having their whole lives kind of filmed every second, millions of pictures and digital videos, that they almost expect that their gaming experiences will have themselves embedded into it as well.
Mm, good point. Yeah, it's what they grew up with.
Right.
Okay, let's do this. Let's have our final reading of this article.
High expectations. Industry expectations for augmented reality's potential are sky high. Tech research firm Juniper predicted that revenue from augmented reality apps could reach $300 million this year, up from a projected $82 million in 2012. By 2017, the firm predicted, more than 2.5 billion augmented reality apps will be downloaded, bringing in $5.2 billion in revenue. Another research firm, Simico, said more than 864 million high-end cell phones would be augmented reality-enabled by 2014. But for many consumers, many of whom are not aware of the technology, the jury is still out. For Jose Casas, 44, watching a Lego box come to life made him want the $399 Death Star set even more. "It's about imagination, dude," the self-proclaimed kid at heart said. His friend, Marcos Nahara, 40, was unconvinced. Shopping for his 8-year-old nephew, Nahara briefly picked up another Star Wars Lego set, then set it down. It's still a $60 toy.
Bill Quinn here with Carolyn Bug and Josh Mooney. We're wrapping up our augmented toy story. Hi. Expectations. So there are some pretty high expectations, aren't there, Josh?
That's right. We talk about the analysts again. Industry expectations for augmented reality's potential are sky high. And when something is sky high, it reaches up into the sky, an astronomical level. And it says the tech research firm Juniper has made some predictions about its potential.
All right. What are some of those predictions?
Well, that revenue from augmented reality apps could reach $300 million this year, up from a projected $82 million in 2012. So that's a pretty substantial increase in just a year.
Yeah, but that's small potatoes to the future 4 or 5 years from now, right?
That's right. Looking out just 3 or 4 years, the firm predicts more than 2.5 billion apps will be downloaded in the augmented reality space, bringing that number up from, wow, just a few million to over 5 billion in revenue. And I don't think we're only talking about toys in this study here. I think that would most likely include business uses as well in the augmented reality space.
All sorts of augmented reality apps, so not just toys. That's a good point. Now, the apps are one part of this equation, and the other, another part are the devices, and so we read about that in the next sentence.
Yeah, so if you're going to have this augmented reality, you need something that can use it. Mm-hmm. So another research firm, Semico, said more than 864 million high-end cell phones would be augmented reality-enabled by 2014. So okay, having high-end or a rather expensive cell phone, probably a smartphone, that can use augmented reality.
Well, that is 2014, their projection. And really, what is going to be happening eventually is all cell phones, all mobile devices will be augmented reality enabled. Just imagine There was a time when all mobile phones, all cell phones, did not take pictures, did not take videos, did not access the internet. I know it's hard to believe. Mm-hmm. There was a time when not every phone did, but now we're actually at that point.
It's going to be everyone's phone except Carolyn's.
Everyone's phone except mine. That is right. My phone does not take pictures.
She's going to cling to that feature phone for the rest of her life.
Carolyn is that 0.1% of people walking on Earth that have phones like that. So, but
yes.
She's very traditional.
Right.
All right. Now, in fact, being traditional, some consumers are very traditional, and we see what the position of some traditional consumers might be.
That's right. Many of whom, it says, are not even aware of this technology. It says the jury is still out. So there is still a group. When we say the jury's still out, it means we haven't reached a conclusion on something. So some folks may not even be aware that their puzzle sitting in their living room has this cool app downloaded. Mm-hmm. Or maybe Carolyn has this puzzle and just can't download any apps to her phone.
Because I don't have the phone. I don't have the technology to use this augmented reality.
Mm-hmm. Well, the jury is still out is actually a great saying we can use in many cases, whether it's a product, a company. We might even say, what about the new guy, John Brown? How's he doing? You might say, well, the jury's still out on this guy.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. You know. We really don't know yet. Some good, some bad.
I guess we didn't explain it too well, but a jury is something in a courtroom, right, that comes up with a decision. And so that means the jury, when they're still out, they're out in the room that they meet in to come up with a decision whether someone is guilty or not.
They're still thinking about it.
That's so right. Mm-hmm.
Well, in fact, we see two guys thinking about these Lego toys, and they're together. It sounds like they're friends, but they have very different opinions.
Well, first we've got Jose Casas, and he was watching this Lego box come to life, and it just made him want this very expensive Death Star, $399 U.S., even more. And he says that it's all about the imagination.
Okay. And he says he's a self-proclaimed kid at heart. Means he still loves to play with toys. So, all right. It's about imagination, comma, dude. That's just a colloquial way of saying, hey, man. All right. But his friend,
Marcos Nahara, wasn't convinced. He's looking around for Star Wars Lego toys for his nephew and says, wow, it's still a $60 toy.
Marcos wasn't sold.
No.
Okay. That comes back to the argument of, well, look, are you willing to add another $20 or $30 for a piece of plastic?
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Very interesting article, listeners. I hope it was informative. It is the future, augmented reality. Be aware of it and see if it fits into your life. See if it fits into your toys. Thanks for joining us. Come on back next time. Till then, this is Bill.
This is Carolyn.
And Josh.
Saying goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.